Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys in the States, and happy regular-ass Thursday to you people listening here in Canada. It is the 22nd of November of our year 2018, and you are tuned into Off the Beaten Path. And for the next hour, I will be taking you and your ears, and maybe your families, to places that they have never been before. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the westernmost part of Vancouver, deep in the Pacific Spirit Forest. Just listening to some funk in the morning because it's important to acknowledge that, hey, you know, while I am living in Canada, I still, some days I feel more American than others, and Thanksgiving is one of those days where, like Columbus Day, you know, the reason behind the holiday, you just be like, F it, but, you know, still the day you get to spend with your folks, you know, and that's one thing that I do miss is the food and the folks. However, we've got a show packed to the brim, and it's just like, I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a Thanksgiving, even without like the mac and cheese and the, you know, the turkey. I mean, I don't even remember eat turkey. We eat like shrimp and stuffing, and I guess they call it dressing here, which, you know, just all of the good foods. We might even pull out some curry, you know, all of that on Thanksgiving. And let's just start the show. So if you've never listened to the show before, what I like to do here is talk to you, talk a little bit about some local news, a little bit about some maybe a little bit about national Canadian news, a little bit about some news from the South, particularly things that I find interesting, and just some funny, smart shit that you will like to know as you go into the weekend, because I feel like it's important to know while you're engaging strangers and making people uncomfortable, probably making some small talk even today, you know, maybe around your in-laws, or, you know, maybe your girlfriend or boyfriend's family for the first time, you know, and they want to, and you're like, oh man, I didn't know, you know, they really thought like that. Well, they probably do. And, you know, anytime you're going to have an uncomfortable conversation, it's never a bad time to just bring up, you know, maybe a story that you've heard on my show, and you guys can talk about it, ease and smooth over whatever it is. I promise. I feel like if you listen to this with your family right now, one, you're probably on my team, and two, there's probably somebody in the room who's not. And so, listen, I hope that it starts one of the best conversations that you have had in the past year, because we can always, this show comes on a Thursday, and so guess what? If you fuck it up this time, you got 365 days to get it right. Just listen to some Snoop Doggy style. He had his star. I guess he had a Hollywood star, which I feel like is pretty late for like Snoop Dogg to get a Hollywood star. I feel like he should have got that ages ago. However, I really like the speech because he thanked all of the people who helped him, and then he said he thanked himself, you know, for putting in all the hard work. And listen, and I totally feel that, because I feel that, you know, we have sometimes, like, it's good to be humble, and it's good to be have some humility. But I feel like when you reach, like, the level that it takes to get a Hollywood star, you know, while acknowledging the people who have helped you, he's like, but you also did all of that. So, and Snoop Dogg is great, and it's very interesting how he has gone from Doggy Style to you know, the Martha Stewart Show. But let's just jump right in it. So, as you guys know, it's not Thanksgiving here in Canada. So it's just a regular-ass Thursday. So it means here in the fall that particularly it's rainy. It's 100% chance of precipitation today with a high of 10. Throughout the weekend, it's going to be rain Saturday, sunny. So if you want to do something outside, it will be a little chilly. However, it won't be like oppressive rain. And then it's going to rain basically through Christmas. So enjoy this last sunny day on November 24th on Saturday, because after that, your weekends and weeks will resemble, you know, what you come to think of as, you know, like a Vancouver fall winter. We've had such good weather this past few weeks that it really has surprised me in the fact that I am having like a really hard time remembering what winter feels like. I know that in a few weeks and then in a month, I will have one like fully remembered again exactly what that feels like here. But for right now, it feels like such a distant memory. I feel so close to summer, particularly when I see the sun outside, and I don't want that feeling to go away. However, I know that for me to move forward and to be comfortable in the next few months, I'm going to have to embrace the uncomfortable, which is knowing that winter is here, and that sucks. So let's move on to just looking into some things that are going on here in Vancouver. You know, we like to talk about here housing, homelessness, drugs. And an interesting story came out this weekend that said homicides here in Vancouver are pushing up the national rate, which I felt is crazy because I feel that there's not that many homicides here. I read the news pretty much every day. And so you do hear about stories that make the news and stories that don't make the news, because I also work in the, the nightlife industry. So you hear about some things that never actually make the news, that people getting stabbed or like assaults that happen or big ass fights that somehow manage to stay out of the papers, I guess, so that they don't scare tourists or people from coming downtown. And sometimes I wish that they would put them in the papers, because maybe that would make my rent go down. Like, I feel like if this was just place was just like, if BC is getting known for, I guess, the murder capital of Canada, while I would never say that, you know, people getting murdered is a good thing. Even while we celebrate Thanksgiving, like, there's obviously people who do think that it is a good thing, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. But I don't say that, you know, I don't think that's a good thing, people getting murdered, but I also don't think being homeless because you can't afford to live someplace is, you know, is a good thing either. And not saying that I'm homeless, but I'm sure that there are people who are just slightly pushed down because of the way that rent is. And when you do see the homicides or anything that happens in the news, particularly here in Vancouver, when it comes to something like that, it's always gang violence. And I'm gonna keep it real. Like, if I feel like if you join a gang, so I was reading a story about this Hell's Angel who joined the gang, and talks about a gunfight he was involved in a few decades ago, and talks about the terror that he felt, and it really made me think about, gun violence and gangs a little differently. It's we like to think of them as, you know, just super tough, I guess, you know, without remorse or empathy. But, you know, they're real people, and they get scared, and, you know, sometimes they die. So it's an unfortunate reality. But BC, I feel it shouldn't be the murder capital of Canada, but it is right now. So I don't really think there's anything more to say about that. You know, sometimes when I'm on the radio, like, it is, you know, you start off, you're like, wow, this is a great point. And then you get to it and you're like, you know what, actually, it's not, because I'm not in a gang and I don't have anybody to protect me. And so when there's a group, people who, you know, hopefully they're not listening to the radio show, but maybe they are, because I feel like it's probably Hells Angels' regular jobs. Probably get up in the morning, you know, 6, 7 o'clock, brush the teeth, just like me and you, take the kids to school, listening to community radio as they drive to work, and they're like, you know what? I don't like that guy talking about me. And you know what? I don't want to be the guy who they don't like. Because, obviously, British Columbia is dangerous. It's driving up the murder rates in Canada. It's crazy. Moving on. I feel like we've talked about this a few times over the past month. Here in UBC's campus, particularly, and then all over Canada, what you're seeing around particularly bathrooms and places where there's men and women is this language around sexual assault and sexual harassment, where there's like, we believe you. There's like, hey, that's not cool, you know, talking to guys about, like, just because you guys are making out doesn't mean you guys can have sex. And there's a lot of language around these things. However, there has been a teacher out of Chilliwack who has been transferred for the third time for sexually harassing coworkers. So Lancer Price is a teacher in Chilliwack. Who is being relocated to a different school after sexually harassing a colleague for the third time. And this is the third time he's been transferred for inappropriate behavior. The first time was when he grabbed a colleague's butt three times in 2017. No, that was the second time in 2017. He was suspended without pay for only 10 days. And he was also ordered to complete counseling, but then in 2009, he was also removed from a school and transferred. And I feel like if we are going to, you know, publicly start taking these things seriously, the first example would be to get a teacher out of a school who has been removed from many other schools for sexual harassment. Not only just because, and nobody should be subject to that in the workplace, like the women or men that he is making uncomfortable and invading their personal space, but also because this person is supposed to be a teacher. And how can you, like, with a straight face, tell kids that they're taking sexual assault serious and sexual harassment serious, like girls in the school, and yet have a teacher who's walking the halls who has been accused, and not only accused, but to the level that they felt he needed to be removed from the situation. So, like, how can those both be true? And if you are showing the message to these girls, you know, that what happens to you isn't that really of a big deal, what you're also showing is to the boys and the men who also say that, you know, this isn't a big deal. It's interesting because I was just having this conversation with a friend who's in town from back home. So if you don't know me, I'm from, like, Washington, D.C. area, and I went to a school called Wheaton High School. And Wheaton High School is in Silver Spring, Maryland. And there we had a teacher. His name was Mr. Moquin, or Dave Moquin, who had been teaching for over 40 years, and he coached football and basketball and wrestling, and he was questionable, but I had him in homeroom. And so one of the things that he did that even in 2006, 2007, we thought it was creepy we thought it was creepy. And I don't know if you could tell by my underlying emotions or when I feel that it was creepy AF, and that he would get like the senior pictures from various girls, because most of the people were 17, various girls in our class and all the previous classes, and like put them in his desk like under a laminate. So like his desk was just covered in pictures of girls from all over, you know, throughout the years. And we were like, wow, like even in 2006, 2007, that was weird. It was creepy, but like not to the level where like a principal would have told him to stop, or not to the level where it was like he needed to remove. And if we just think like what time period, like in the past decade, like how things have changed, because I feel like today that would be totally unacceptable. Like I felt like it was unacceptable back then because it was weird. It was just, it wasn't like his favorite students. It was just girls. How like unacceptable that would be. However, when you hear stories like this teacher who's out in Chilliwack, you know, sexually assaulting other teachers and just being removed, it really sends a message that you don't actually give a shit about sexually assault. And I say you, as in like the, I don't know if Chilliwack has their own school board, but the Vancouver school board or BC or whatever governing body that this teacher or this teacher's union, this teacher is a part of, because you can't both send a message that we care about these things yet when they come up, particularly in the workplace, particularly in the school where students are, you know, looking for two teachers for guidance and like as moral beacons that they should be trying to follow. It just, it's just not a good look. Like I know how even it's hard being in high school just trying to figure out boundaries without having someone there who's obviously crossing them. When we get back, we have a little bit of more Vancouver news. A sick otter. Not actually, he's not actually sick, but it's pretty cool. And we have so much interesting Thanksgiving news to talk about. I cannot wait. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you can't remember numbers very well, I want to hear about some of your Thanksgiving stories.
Hey there. My name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
Busy body, busy tonight. Mad, mad, mad. Joanna, knocking on the door me tonight. Joanna, you're busy body giving me life, oh. Hey life, hey.
How you do me like that?
Joanna, Joanna.
How you do me like that?
Hey, Joanna, Joanna.
How you gonna do me like that?
Joanna, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Stop,
Joanna.
Make a touch your body. Joanna, come make a touch your body. Joanna, give me life, oh. When she dance, see the skin tight, oh, oh, oh. Yeah, I know they lie. Joanna bad, yeah, I know they lie. And when my baby, they dance, everybody my form, oh. Come, baby, girl, you know you play me like Drogba, Drogba. You know the star boy play past Drogba, Drogba, oh, 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 oh. Star boy ball out. Ball out, hey, hey, hey. God, I'm sugar, love.
How you do me like Joanna, Joanna.
How you do me like
Joanna, Joanna.
Joanna, give me life,
Joanna,
Joanna. Joanna, give me life,
Joanna, Joanna.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, how you gonna play me like Drogba?
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And there's an otter on the loose here in Vancouver. And I don't know if you've ever seen an otter before, because the only time that I saw an otter was on Nick Jr. On PB&J. I don't know if you listen, I don't know in Canada if you got the show, but if you are or were fortunate to enough to have a Nickelodeon, thanks mom for the basic cable, you know, you got to watch some cool stuff. I think it came on right after Franklin the Turtle. However, these otters and those otters are not the same, because in Chinatown there's Dr. Sun Yat-sen Garden, there's a koi pond, and there's like an otter who's out here terrorizing the koi fish. It's claimed its sixth victim. If you'd like to read the story, it's on cbc.ca. Like, I particularly, when I was reading the story yesterday, I liked how they talked about it, like as if this otter is committing capers, you know, like it's not like a regular otter. And if you've listened to the show before, one of the things that I really love is that when you see animals like adjusting to their human overlords and like fighting back in ways that they see fit. And listen, they talk about how this otter is close to being caught, as they have discovered his den, however, or his or her den. It could be a her otter. I hope he gets away, or she gets away, because these koi fish are clearly, you know, prey. And the otter's just trying to, you know, make his way in the city. Like, where else is he going to get fish from? It's wintertime. I feel like we should probably, like, koi fish, they're kind of cool to look at. But we probably should just stock the pond, because having, like, a city otter, maybe making him the mascot, would be pretty cool, especially because the other mascot, the Canuck, is not working. As I feel like hockey season just started, there's probably been like 15 games, and the Vancouver Canucks have managed to lose 7 in a row. Now, you know we don't like to really touch on sports here. However, losing 7 in a row when there's been like 12 games is absolutely terrible. Yeah, that's it. So, the last story here from British Columbia, you know, Canada, is that when you think about Canada, particularly in medical services, you don't normally think, like, things are already cheap. I feel, you know, not only they're just cheap, it's just there's like a medical system that strives to take care of the people here in British Columbia, particularly when it comes to their health. Proactively, But this ain't that. So there has been a investigation where the BC College of Physicians is trying to get Rajdeep Kaur Kakkar. She goes by Dr. Libjob. They're trying to get her ass sent to jail because she has been going around. And if I don't know if you've ever been to Yale Town, but if you have been to Yale Town, probably within the past like 2 years, you probably could sense, hey, something is not right here. So many girls or women in Yale Town, Cole Harbor area, walking around with lip jobs, not just any type of lip jobs, but poorly done lip jobs. Now, I, you know, am, listen, body augmentation, you know, happens all the time. People do lots of things to make themselves feel better about their body. And I don't think that it's right to, like, shame women who get, like, Botox or nose jobs or lip jobs or, you know, do lots of things. Because I know plenty of dudes who walk around who, like, only got tattoos for, like, that's considered out of body augmentation, you know, for the sense that, like, they want to look, you know, want to have a certain look. Or I know dudes who take steroids, you know, because they want a certain look, you know, and we only, I feel like, publicly, like, shame women for that type of thing. However, if you walk around in Yale Town, you'll see there's a lot of bad lip jobs going around. And that is because Dr. Lipjob has been out here giving fake Botox and fake, I mean, not fake Botox, gets real Botox and real lip jobs, people. But and if you have got your lips done by her or you know someone who has, they should be trying to sue this lady because she's not a real doctor. She has been impersonating a doctor and using forged documents here. So you should make sure, you know, that when you go to somebody like this, you know, that they're probably qualified to do the work. There was a story a few, I think maybe about a year or two ago, about a woman who was given butt injections in Miami, and she was actually using like caulk. So like, you know, you know what you use to put in between tiles. I think that that's what caulk is, or is that, I feel like, you know, something like that, or in the bathroom. Anyways, you can buy it from Home Depot. It's not a medical thing. However, they're putting this in fake butts and asses, and people died. So like, while we can laugh, you know, that people are willing to go through all of these things so that they can change their body, sometimes people die of it, and it's not funny. It's pretty sad, actually, all of the things that we're willing to go through. However, it's even more sad that there's people out here scamming people and preying on people's insecurities by using low prices to try to, you know, engage them into a behavior that is dangerous. So if you are thinking about getting lip injections, make sure you go to a licensed, aesthetician. I don't know the type of doctor who does that type of stuff. But you should, if that's what you're interested in. And so moving on to, before we get into why we're here, you know, here on this Thanksgiving Thursday, I'd like to talk about the election that we had a few weeks ago in the United States. We have seen some like dramatic changes, and one of those changes is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's famous because she is the youngest congresswoman to be in the House ever. And I wouldn't say the right media is keeping her famous, but like the media is, she is like a media darling to some and like some super villain to others. And so one of the things that happened this past week was CNBC, which is not who you would imagine coming on to criticize, a Democrat. However, they basically ran a story where they talked about how AOC, I feel like that's what I like to call it, she didn't have a year's salary in her bank account. They said she only has $7,000 in her bank account. And like shaming her for the fact that she only has $7,000 in her bank account when I know maybe people, I could probably, like, I feel like I know a lot of people. Like, I don't know if you know me personally, but if you do, you know, like, I probably know, like, more than people that I can count on my hands and feet. And I know that on my hands, I probably don't need my feet. I could probably count all of the people I know who have $7,000 in their bank account. And then I feel like it really makes you understand just like how far out of touch not only is just the other people in Congress, in the House and in the Senate, but then like these media people who clearly have no idea how 90% of American people are living, because not even more than 50% of the jobs in the United States don't pay $16 an hour. So, you know, that's 130 million people are making, you know, $15 or less an hour. And so to imagine that, like, you know, maybe there's one congresswoman, congressperson who doesn't have, you know, who has just only $7,000 in their bank account. Like when the average American doesn't have enough money to have savings for like 3 month emergency fund, you know, just like how out of touch these people are who are making decisions for us. And clearly they want to keep poor people out of these decision-makings. So when you think about that next time, I guess we won't have like another election for 2 years, but when in 2 years comes up, you should be thinking about like, well, maybe we should demand, a president who shows tax returns, and at least some of the people in Congress should feel like you and me. When we come back, we are going to talk about some of the things that are going on here in Thanksgiving.
Beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey.
So I feel like Thanksgiving, like I talked about, it's one of my favorite holidays. And I feel that 2018 for me has been a very special Thanksgiving. This past week, I feel that it's just provided me not just like another level of joy. I don't want to say it because I feel very morbid sometimes when I talk about things on the radio here, particularly like I talk about animals killing humans. And I'm like, you know, I get a little joy from that. I was talking about this with someone who listens to my show yesterday, and she mentioned that I laugh too much when people die. And I feel, so what? Like, everybody's going to die. Like, I'm going to die. And I don't know if I'll die in a way that will make somebody laugh. I mean, there will be people, obviously, who are sad. Maybe they won't. Maybe by the time I die, you know, nobody will be sad. However, if I died today or tomorrow, there would be people who would be sad. And if I died in a funny way, there's definitely people going to laugh about it. Even if I die in an unfunny way, I'm sure there's probably some haters out there who are going to be laughing. You know, just the fact that I'm no longer breathing. So I feel like, you know, people dying, fair game. People will laugh and people will be sad. But particularly on this Thanksgiving. You know, as we understand what Thanksgiving is about. So the Wampanoag tribe. So when I was in second grade, we did this circuit, I guess, where we go through all of. We basically go through American history through the eyes of different perspectives as we go through the years in elementary school. And so in second grade, we had we learned about the Native Americans, particularly Native Americans, you know, in the Northeast and then in the area around D.C. And so one of the tribes that we learned about was the Wampanoag tribe, because this is like the genesis of Thanksgiving. So, you know, the story is that the Pilgrims came. They landed the Mayflower, you know, on Plymouth Rock, where they met these genteel, you know, natives, and the Native Americans helped them get through the winter. And so, you know, as you grow up from, you know, age 7 and you really start to understand history and you learn about what's going on, you realize that, you know, that story is probably a bunch of bullshit. And so, This is the 400th year of remembrance of that day. And for the Wampanoag tribe, it's a little different. One, because it's important. This is very important. So if you give a shit about Thanksgiving, like the real Thanksgiving, you should want to know what you can do to make it better for everybody. So the Wampanoag in Mashpee, Massachusetts, there right now, it is a it was a federally recognized reservation. However, the 2,600 member tribe is having their land put in a trust, federal trust, which basically means that they are losing their rights to the land. And so as we like eat Thanksgiving with your family today, remember, you know, while your congressman might not be there today or tomorrow, he will be back there or she will be back there on Monday. And it's important that you call or send in a letter, to make sure that this gets voted against. Because what happens when basically what has happened is that the federal organization, like, let me see, what's it called? It's like the parks. I'll have to listen. I'll put it on the website and you guys can find it. However, just know that the federal government is trying to take away the land. And so as they get ready for their protest today, which is how they have been spending their Thanksgiving as remembrance and in protest, they're actually losing their lands. So when they talk about the story of Pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock and trying to make it through the winter, what you actually have is Pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock, stealing from grain stores that the Wampanoags have set up for themselves because they know how to get through the winter. And Pilgrims robbing the graves of dead natives so that they could survive the winter. So it's never been this, you know, this Thanksgiving table where everyone has come together. And I am sure that you probably didn't think that. However, it's always a good reminder. But don't forget to actually do something to help the Mashpee Wampanoag tribes who are having their ancestral land taken away. Because one, I don't know if you're not from here and you listen to the radio show when we acknowledge the land of the Coast Salish and Musqueam speaking people here, it's because that the land is unceded and it should be recognized before like every class or every government function or anything or any art, any really thing that happens here is understanding that this land is belongs to somebody else. And that's what's that's what is the truth in Mashpee, Massachusetts. Like in the place where this holiday, you know, started. However, what has brought me and my people together over this holiday season is that a individual, a missionary who tried to make his way to the an American who tried to make his way to the North Sentinel Islands, a island off the east coast of India, was killed. Listen, there's an island, if you don't know, off the North Sentinel. You can actually read the Google reviews for it. It talks about how nice people are. But there's an island, it's a remote, basically. It's basically, it has a ban because it's the oldest, like, unmolested people in the world. The oldest group of unmolested people in the world, but meaning that they haven't been encroached upon by colonizers. And this individual thought it was a great idea to try to bring Jesus to this island that doesn't want anybody, including Jesus. And so what he did is he tried to go to the island and, I don't know, kick it, and he was killed in the spirit of Thanksgiving, because sometimes people don't want you to give them thanks. Sometimes people don't want you to give them shit, and you should leave a lot of people alone. I don't really feel like some outlets are describing him as a tourist, and I feel like he's more like a terrorist, because if these people have made it clear that they don't want to be bothered, and then you go and bother them, you're terrorizing the people. But it's very interesting because I saw this made me like look into I guess not some archival footage, but look into some I guess like YouTube videos about people looking at this tribe from afar. And so you come across a lot of white people who are just so fascinated. Not only just fascinated, but like wanting to understand them, you know, and wanting to make contact and learn about their family structures and learn about, you know, the kids and everything. And it's like, how about you just leave those effing people alone? Like, I don't understand why people are so curious. You know, the world is huge. Like, we know more about space than we do about down in the sea. And there's millions and millions and millions of acres of land that you can go to and, you know, look at. Why do you want to bother these people who seemingly don't want to be bothered? Like in the video, they I guess it's like the woman is trying to, like, they're trying to give them a pig, which for me reminds me of how Christopher Columbus and, you know, the Europeans then killed the natives in the Yucatan Peninsula and in the Caribbean because they brought these diseased pigs over. And what happened is the pigs infested everybody. Everybody died. And then they discovered the New World. However, the North Sentinel Islands, they killed the pig, buried it, and they went on about their business. And, you know, it's all you can do. But I feel like it's just very fitting to happen on Thanksgiving week. And then also, in another, like, yes, the spirit of Thanksgiving. A FedEx driver was, you know, going about his job in Portland, Oregon. And I don't know if you know about Oregon, but Oregon was started in the Oregon Constitution as a white utopia, which banned anybody who's not white from living in the state. So even if you wanted to work in the state, you had to live in Washington or in, I think, Idaho is east of there, or, you know, Northern California, you had to go down. However, so when we think about, like, Oregon, particularly Portland, we think of, like, this super progressive, you know, place. It's, like, stuck in the 80s when really the rest of Oregon is stuck in the 80s, but the 1880s instead of the 1980s, which you might be thinking about. Anyways, a 55-year-old man was harassing Timothy Warren, who is the FedEx driver, was harassing him, calling him some racial slurs. He accused the truck driver of driving too fast in his neighborhood, had some racial slurs. Then he swung on him. Warren got out of his truck and punched him. And Warren died. Now, they said that they won't file charges to Timothy Warren. And I don't think that they should, because it's Thanksgiving. And, you know, this man's got a family. He just went to work. He wasn't expecting to get, you know, harassed and abused by some random dude in the neighborhood. He's just going to work. And you shouldn't get swung on at work. And if you do, you should definitely be allowed to swing back. He called him a effing nigger. And that, with the combination of other insults, sounds like you're right to get punched. So thanks, Timothy Warren and the North Center Islanders for carrying the revolutionary spirit as we head into Thanksgiving. And we watched the Cowboys versus the Redskins today, you know, in good old Thanksgiving tradition. So it is a good one. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some very interesting, funny news. And we maybe might laugh at one more person who died. You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. If you like the show, or even if you don't like it, I don't care. But you should listen to the old episodes, because you might like one of those. You can find those on Facebook.com/OTBP20XX. You can find it on Mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. Or you can just go on CITR.ca's website and find it on there. They have every single episode. And if you like the music, you like me, You'll probably like my friends. You should tune in to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. It is only the hottest hip-hop station here in Canada, and definitely the best hip-hop show in the world. So I had a friend tell me one of his Thanksgiving stories where, so my friend, he's Jewish. He's Jewish because when his mother married his dad, she converted to Judaism. And so if you know anything about Judaism, if the mom is Jewish, then you become Jewish. And so basically, my friend, he goes home and for the holidays, and his mom, who's I feel like is no longer married to his dad, she's just talking about how just like so much anti-Semitic, you know, just Jewish hate. And it's very interesting from a few different perspectives. One, I feel like Thanksgiving is like you think about it and it's such a great time, you know, for your family to get together. But there's a lot of people who on this holiday dread this day because their family is, you know, it's just effed up. And I guess to hear that from your mom, you know, would be, for me, would be very hard. But there's a lot of people who are going into situations. I read a thing on Twitter. It was this black dude, and he's like, yeah, he can't even eat dinner at his wife's house, which I feel like is, you know, some type of personal moral failing on that man's part, because I feel that you love who you love, but I'm not ever going to subject myself to that type of anyways, but, you know, there's a lot of people who are having these difficult conversations on Thanksgiving, and I urge you, listeners, particularly my white friends, to like lean into those conversations, because that's a conversation around Thanksgiving. It's probably uncomfortable. It might make some people in your family mad, but, like, you know, just as we talked about a little earlier, you know, there's actual real political implications for people who are living their lives, you know, under this regime. So, like, you know, thinking about the Wampanoag people of Mashpee, Massachusetts, you know, who are having their lands taken away by the Department of the Interior. So if you also not only want to write your congressperson or the person who represents you, you can also write the Department of Interior. Or, as my mom has sent in, you can talk to the Department of Interior of Indian Affairs. So, you know, there's people who realize, like, a conversation for you is not going to hurt you, you know, particularly with your family. But you can't be, like, consider yourself like an ally or a progressive and be unwilling to have these conversations with people, even in your family, who don't think the same, you know, who think something opposite. But before we get off on the show, there's a few things that have been going on. So there's a Dutch teenager who died after inhaling Axe body spray to get high. Now, one, I feel like the problem is that Axe body spray sucks. And so, like, I can't believe that there was once a time in my life where I would go and spend my hard-earned allowance money on that stuff. And now to find out it's killing people. First off, that people are getting high from it. And then second off, that it's killing people. Like, I feel those commercials spoke to something that is just not inside me anymore. And I'm pretty glad it's not. So don't inhale Axe body spray, or you're going to get clowned on Off the Beaten Path. I won't even put his name out there. And in the pinnacle of clown moments, Pusha T did a concert in Toronto. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Pusha T or if you've ever heard of Drake, but they had a beef in the summer, and Pusha T claimed it was going to be a surgical summer, and I didn't see any surgery. I was more like a chainsaw, and it was just over before we knew it. Anyways, Pusha T did a concert in Toronto. I thought it was disrespectful already. The concert sold out, pretty disrespectful to Drake. And then some of the concert goers, obviously fans of Drake, jumped on stage, threw some water bottles at Pusha T. He walked off to the side. A dude tried to jump up. and he got put down with Timberland boots. After the man was subsequently stomped out, Pusha T came back on stage and performed Infrared. So if you know Infrared, that's like the original Drake beef. Drake diss, and then he performed Adonis. I wish he would have put the blackface picture of Drake on the screen, but he did not. But basically, he went in Drake's hometown, beat up his butler, and then put his feet on the couch. And so, as we end the show, I hope you are not putting your feet on your mother's couch and at Thanksgiving. That's mad disrespectful. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and happy Thursday to my fellow Canadian listeners as we all go to work today. I'm out.